Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Father Robert Nixon of the Order of Saint Benedict, and this is the commentary series on Abandonment to Divine Providence by Jean-Pierre de Cussade. And today is day 21 and the final day in our series, and we will be examining Book 2, Chapter 4, Sections 11 and 12. And these are wonderful sections which deal with the strength of simplicity and the ultimate triumph of humility. Before we delve into these sections, let us pray to Almighty God that He may cause these great and holy virtues to flourish within our own souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, Heavenly Father, You are the source and origin of our being. You bestow upon us every good gift, and everything which You bestow upon us is directed towards our ultimate good and salvation. You desire nothing more than our eternal happiness, and You lead us there by the best path, although this path may sometimes seem to be hard and narrow. Help us to cultivate the virtues of simplicity and humility, to perceive You in all things and to desire nothing else than the simple fulfillment of Your loving will. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Section 11 of Chapter 4 of Book 2 is entitled The Strength of Simplicity. And he begins by telling us that the whole practice of the simple soul is the accomplishment of the will of God, which is quite amazing if you think about it. So, simplicity consists of being focused on one thing, on one desire. The person becomes complex when they have competing desires and imperatives within their own heart. But this simplicity through the one thing which is truly necessary, the fulfillment of the will of God, and this in turn comes from love of God. This doesn't automatically follow that all of our actions and all of the situations we encounter in life will be simple, but it will give us one clear priority. And as long as we have that fundamental in place, everything else will come to it. And he talks about how pride, which we might say is a kind of complexity, leads to obscurity and a lack of clear perception of the work and presence of God. He says the proud soul cannot comprehend itself. How true that is. But the simple soul, with the light of faith, can very clearly see through it. So this virtue of simplicity is something which I think we need consciously to cultivate. As I said, it comes from singularity of intention, to love God alone. And he tells us that this simplicity, which we can attain even on earth, is the beginning of eternal happiness, not yet perfectly realized and tasted, except in an incomplete and hidden manner. And if we think about the life of heaven, I think one of the common things is its marvelous simplicity, the great purity of the joy which we experience there. And if you think about it, simplicity and purity of heart are essentially the same thing. And our Lord tells us in the Beatitudes that it is the pure of heart who will see God. In section 12, he talks about the triumph of humility. and says that to the souls which are faithful to him, God promises a glorious victory over the powers of the world and of hell. He observes that the history of the world from the beginning is but the history of the struggle between the powers of the world and of hell against the souls which are humbly devoted to the divine action. In this struggle, the advantage seems to be on the side of pride, yet the victory always remains with humility. The image of the world is always presented to our eyes as a statue of gold, brass, iron, and clay. This mystery of iniquity, shown in a dream to Nebuchadnezzar, is nothing but a confused medley of all the actions, interior and exterior, of the children of darkness. This is also typified by the beast coming out of the pit to make war from the beginning of time against the interior and spiritual life of man. All that takes place in our days is a consequence of this war. Monster follows monster out of pit, which swallows and vomits them forth again amidst incessant clouds of smoke. The combat between Saint Michael and Lucifer that began in heaven still continues. The heart of this once magnificent angel has become, through envy, an inexhaustible abyss of every kind of evil. The mystery of iniquity is the very inversion of the order of God. It is the order, or rather the disorder, of the devil. So here he is talking quite dramatically, and this is the final section of the book, so I think this is fitting that he now focuses on the ultimate conflict between good and evil, which exists in our world, in our universe, and more importantly, within the heart of every single individual. And a characteristic of evil is very typically pride. And we find this represented archetypally in the figure of Lucifer. We find, on the contrary, that a characteristic of the greatest saints, of the Blessed Virgin Mary, of Christ himself, who said, "I am meek and humble of heart." And this is a kind of siding against the forces of the world and the forces of evil in favor of union with God. And paradoxically, although we imagine these two forces to be in conflict, God only permits the evil to work, to exist, for the sake of the purification and elevation of the souls dedicated to it. And I know that can sometimes be difficult to believe, but ultimately all things are working together for our salvation, because it's God who's ultimately in charge. So it seems like there's a battle, and we talk about metaphorically a battle between good and evil, but if God is really omnipotent, it follows that the victory is always his. And he says this: "Ancient history, sacred and profane, is but a record of this war." This is the struggle between pride and humility, between evil and good. But he says, "The order of good has ever remained victorious, and those who have ranged themselves on the side of God have shared his triumph and are happy for all eternity. Injustice has never been able to protect deserters. It can reward them only by death, an eternal death." So I think this is truly remarkable here, and quite correct, that it's always the good which is bound to triumph, because God is the very essence of good, and God is all-powerful. Nothing can possibly stand against him. So the choice, I think, is very clear. And this is something which needs to encourage us at all times, that the victory is ours as long as we remain faithful. He says that the monstrous spectacle of wickedness, armed with so much power, the head of gold, the body of silver, brass, and iron, is nothing more than the image of clay. A small stone cast at it will scatter it to the four winds of heaven. He tells us, he comments, how wonderfully has the Holy Spirit illustrated the centuries of the world. So many startling revelations, so many renowned heroes following each other like so many brilliant stars, so many wonderful events. All of this is like the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, forgotten on awakening, however terrible the impression it made at the time. So I think this is a wonderful image, that everything which we experience in this mortal life, upon our transition to our eternal existence, is going to seem like nothing but a dream. And there are many and varied things. We see things which appear to be evil. We see violence, pride, wickedness, and so forth. But all of these things have no substance. Like, as he mentions, the statue, which in the end is made of nothing but fragile clay, which shatters from a single stone cast from heaven. And I think we need to remind ourselves frequently of that, especially when we feel plagued by troubles or surrounded by evils. So I think this brings us to a fitting end. We've seen our salvation lies in our complete surrender to the will of God, our complete abandonment to divine providence, our trusting in God as our loving Father, who desires our salvation, not only who desires it, but knows the very best way to achieve it and has the power to achieve it. We don't need to understand what he's doing. We don't need to understand the path along which we're being led, or the various contingencies of things which seem to happen to us, as long as we retain this humility and simplicity and have one thing at the foremost of our intentions, the proper fulfillment of the will of God. And this intention to fulfill the will of God is really exactly the same as the love of God. And remember, however much we love God, he always loves us more. And he gives us abundantly that grace and that love, which we all stand in such deep need of at every moment of our life. And so this brings us to the end of day 21 and to the conclusion of our study of the abandonment to divine providence. I hope that you have enjoyed and benefited from the deep exploration of this great spiritual treatise, just as much as I have in going through this journey with you. And I'd like to encourage you to take the time to read this book, or if you've already read it, and I know probably a lot of you have, to read it again. And if you've read it twice, read it a third time, because each time we read it, it brings us, I think, to a closer encounter with its fundamental message. We find things in it which are rewarding and encouraging. We also find in it things which are challenging and sometimes perplexing. But it's all leading us towards this salvation, this wisdom, which God intends for each one of us. And to him alone be glory forever and ever. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including Abandonment to Divine Providence and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.